back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a great show in store for you today. We've got a wonderful new work, and it is headlining another fantastic festival happening here in New York. And joining us to talk about this great show, we have the playwright Pam Wyler Grayson, the director Shellen Lubin, and the actress Ariel Beth Klein. They're here to talk to us about their show, Observant, which is part of the Spark Theater Festival NYC, and it's playing September 12th through the 28th at the Chain Theater this year. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting TicketTailor.com. We had such a great time at the Spark Theater Festival last year. You might remember the three shows we got to cover with that one. But this year, they're at the Chain Theater. And to kick things off, we are speaking with the headlining show. So I can't wait to dive more into this. So let us welcome on our guests, Pam, Shell, and Ariel. Welcome in to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that the three of you are here, especially with this piece. I mean, just the little paragraph synopsis I read, I was like, that, why is no one saying that? That is brilliant. So why don't we start things off with you, Pam? Can you tell us a little bit about this play that you've written? What's it about?
Sure. So this play is about a Jewish family, and it really focuses on three generations of women in the family, a grandmother, mother, and two adult daughters. There are men in the play, your partners, but I really am seeing this play through a female perspective, focusing more on the women and their Jewish identities. They have various different observances within the family, and the play really explores what happens with their identities and their relationships when there is a temple shooting in their community. So, yeah, a rollicking comedy. But I will tell you that there is a lot of humor in it. When I say that, I always, oh gosh, you know. But there is definitely a lot of humor within the piece, even though it tackles a lot of serious issues.
That's amazing. So, Pam, what inspired you to pen the piece?
So, I've been wanting to write a play about a Jewish family. I just wasn't sure how to go about doing it. I was raised as a Reformed Jew. We were pretty secular. We, you know, celebrated like the basic main holidays, but we didn't do a lot of the holidays. And we had an upbringing where we sort of celebrated like American assimilated Christmas. And we even like did Easter eggs at Easter. So it was a little bit confusing in a religious way, even though I went to Hebrew school also, and my brother had a bar mitzvah. That was pretty much the extent of it. And I also went to a more kind of WASPy private girls school when I was growing up. There weren't a lot of Jewish kids. I also went to a New England boarding school, which is very similar in that way. So I was often confused about like my Jewish identity and how much it meant to me. But my grandparents on both sides were actually pretty involved with their temple communities. So I had that. So it was like a big mix. And it always was confusing. I always thought it'd be interesting to explore those differences. And then the Tree of Life temple shooting happened in Pittsburgh in 2018. And for me, that was a real jumping off point because I felt like I hadn't seen, obviously it was so new, but I hadn't really seen plays that explored what happens when there is a violent hate crime, you know, what happens within the context of a family and how does it affect your identity? And I thought this is maybe the perfect way to explore all of that. So that's how it happened. So I had that macro story all of a sudden about a temple shooting, but then I still had this story about the family and how it affects people individually and their familial relationships. So that's what really started me writing this piece in about 2020.
Wow, that is amazing. That is incredible, the ground you're covering there. So wow, kudos. Now, Shellen, I want to come to you as the director. How is it you came upon this piece?
Well, it's really actually very interesting. A longtime collaborator of Pam's had been directing it in readings, and she was unavailable to do the production because she had already been committed to another show at the same time. She and I are colleagues and friends from the Actors Studio. We're in the Playwright Director's Workshop together at the Actors Studio. She and I Her name is Alice Jankel, and she and I are two of the only people in the group who are both playwrights and directors. And so we have a lot of simpatico for the, and we're also actors, so we see these things from multiple perspectives, and it's a way that she and I very much ally with each other. And so she recommended me to Pam, and Pam and I immediately hit it off and hit the ground running. And God, I can't believe we've only known each other a few months now, because we've probably talked more than I have with most of the people in my life for the last couple of years.
So true.
That's incredible. Aria, I want to bring you, and you are one of our actresses in this show, which is amazing. And so I'd love to know the same thing. How did you come upon the piece?
Yeah, well, I know Pam from Tuesdays at 9 and Naked Angels Theater Company reading series. And so over the last years, I mean, 4 years since Pam started working on this piece, I've seen 10 pages at a time as an audience member. I got to read it in some of the readings. So I've been following this piece and Pam's journey with it for a really long time. And it's been really beautiful to see all the progress. So when they, you know, had me audition for this production of it, I was so excited and grateful.
And wait, Aria was also in another reading I did of a different play, this kind of wacky comedy. So I had worked with her before on stage. And so I knew how great she was.
Thank you.
That's fabulous. Now, as we mentioned, you are headlining this year's Spark Theater Festival. And of course, this all kicks off on your show kicks off on September 12th. So I'd love to know, I mean, we are still about two and a half weeks, I think, if math is good, away. Ariel, let me start with you. I'd love to know, what has it been like developing the piece and getting it ready?
It's been really wonderful. I mean, we've had a mix of Zoom and in-person rehearsals, and we've started doing a lot of table work to sort of really deep dive into who these characters are, their complexities, what brings them joy, and what stresses them out. And so I feel like we've had some really good and helpful conversations to sort of deep dive what's under the lines before we get up in space together, and then sort of work out the blocking and all of that business. So it's been great to just sort of get to know them intellectually first. So we have all of that foundational work done.
Brilliant. Shellen, what about you as the director? What has it been like putting this up on its feet?
Well, I thought it would be even more frustrating than it is doing some of these early rehearsals on Zoom, because table work is table work. And we've all learned through the pandemic how to be fully present ourselves on Zoom. So we've gotten a lot of traction and a lot of work done being together in doing table work in a Zoom room, as it were, as opposed to in person. But I will say, we had a rehearsal the other night with Ariel and the guy who plays her husband, Yair Ben-Dor, and it was fabulous to be in the same room together. And we got so far so fast because of all the discussions we'd already had, to them starting to create the physical language with each other, how they look at each other, how they share space together. And so I'm really excited now to get everybody. I haven't gotten everybody in the room. We've had a few people out of town. I can't wait to get everybody into the physical space together and really start to breathe the life back in, and then eventually the timing, the placement and the timing and the, because there's a ton of humor in this piece. This is an incredibly dysfunctional family, and they're the best kind to have in a play. And that gives both a lot of pathos and a lot of humor. And I'm looking forward to being able to really make that spark and come to life.
I love that. We love a good piece that is not only powerful, but funny.
And the other thing is music. And even though this is not a musical and there's no music per se, there are no songs, there are the Jewish prayers. And that music creates huge, important moments in the piece as well. Humor and music are the two that just really, as you say, allow people to be more vulnerable, affected. It's a beautiful thing.
Love that. Pam, I want to come back to you now. You know, you are a playwright. You have written this brilliant work that, as we keep saying, is funny, but it's also very timely, very timely. One of the quotes, I'm going to get this wrong, bear with me, but I love is how can you fix the world when you haven't even fixed your family? But then also tying in that there's a Jewish idea out there as well, or belief about fixing things. I can't remember the exact word.
Yeah, it's called tikkun olam, and it's to repair the world.
Yes.
So how can we repair the world when we don't repair ourselves? We don't repair ourselves.
Yes, so, I love that. And yeah. I would love to know with all of these ideas bouncing around, you know, what is the message or thought you are hoping the audiences take away from your work?
So in terms of message, I have to say, I don't love message plays per se, because I feel like I try to write plays that ask more questions than give answers. And I think those are the best kinds of plays, you know, things that make us think about it. I don't want anyone to walk away with any pat answer. Like, I know exactly now how I feel about this or how everybody should feel. I think that there are a lot of things that are not tied up in a bow. That being said, I do hope that people think about on a large scale how acts of hate affect people's identities and their faith, because it doesn't have to be a Jewish family. It is a Jewish family in this instance, but it could happen to any kind of family where they feel personally affected by a violent act of terror in their community. And then I think also there's so much talk, and you were talking about how timely it is. There's so much talk about outside forces and divisiveness in the country. And, you know, Jews often now are feeling very afraid and very alienated. But there's also the idea of intra-Jewish divisions. And that's something that this piece talks about that a lot of other plays may not, that within our own Jewish communities or any other faith communities, we fight amongst ourselves. And so that's the idea of, like, if we don't kind of wrestle with our own identities, our own flaws, and how we treat each other, how do we expect outside people to treat us well? And how can we set a better example for that? So that's kind of all the mishigas, as we would say in Yiddish. I have to throw a couple of those in here. That's how it all kind of percolates within this piece, I think.
Those are some brilliant thoughts. I love that. I truly do. Shellen, I want to ask you that as well, because you're directing the piece, you are guiding these artists through the space. What is the message or thought you hope that audiences take away?
Well, of course, so much is exactly what Pam is putting out there, because that's inherent in the play. Additionally, Pam and I have been exploring, and I'm trying to explore with the actors, what is it that we do identify with in our heritage and that we don't? How do we manifest that fear around it, where there's a lot in a lot of religions? And that's also mentioned in the play. The younger sister has an Iranian boyfriend, and so that's a factor in the play as well. And the way that we look at people from other cultures. So how do we identify with our own culture? How do we look at other cultures? And what does acceptance really mean? There's a sense that for me in this play that how do we find acceptance without necessarily having agreement? It's something that I think that people in this country are very much looking at right now. How do we accept each other without necessarily agreeing with each other? And within a family, that's so critical, because how else do you manage, because we can't agree on everything.
That is, I love these thoughts. These are so wonderful. I love it. Ariel, I want to come to you with my final question for this first part. And that is, who are you hoping have access to Observant?
What a big question to throw on. No, ideally, I think everyone who can see it, I think, can benefit from it. I think personally, I'm hoping people come to see it who are both Jewish and non-Jewish, and who are maybe grappling with some of the things that the characters are grappling with in the play. I think it does a great job at, like Pam said and Shellen said, like asking questions, and hopefully people will leave with some good food for thought, and hopefully they can, even if they don't leave with answers, they leave with some understanding. And I think that, yeah, this play is, I think, so beautifully shows that we are all more alike than we are different. So if people can come who are Jewish and not Jewish, I think hopefully we'll leave with that.
That's so wonderful. Pam, Shellen, anything you'd like to add to that?
I just want to tag on to what Ariel said about that. Like, it seems like, oh, it's the Jewish play, and so all these like Jewish audiences are going to come in. But, you know, you look at something like Fiddler, which is done all over the world, and everyone says, that's my family, and they're not at all Jewish, you know, like the Japanese, like they're crying. It's everyone can relate to some piece of this. And I grew up in the 70s, and they used to have this commercial at Levy's Rye Bread. And the tagline was, you don't have to be Jewish to love Levy's. And so I would say, you don't have to be Jewish to love Observant. And that's what I'd say.
Love that. That is wonderful.
And whatever your background is, whether you're very embedded in your Judaism, not at all, or not Jewish, it offers you additional lenses, not just one, multiple lenses through which to look at yourself and look at the people you love. And what could be better than that?
Well, for the second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start with our regular first question, which is, what or who have inspired you? What shows, composers, or playwrights have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And Ariel, can I kick this off with you, please?
The first thing that came to mind is just a show that I recently saw, which is so different than the play we're doing, but I just saw Anne Juliet for the first time. And it was just, I'm a Shakespeare nerd, so it was just so joyful to see this modernized, like, you know, what lines from Shakespeare's text did they bring into the modern context, and just a more diverse and inclusive show. And the music was so fun. I was literally dancing in my seat, and the person next to me was like, at intermission, he said, "You're really having fun, aren't you?" And I was like, "I am having fun." So if anyone's looking for like a very joyful, lighthearted show right now, Anne Juliet, highly recommend.
Yes, I love that show. Pam, how about you? What or who inspires you?
So I grew up in New York City, and I went to a lot of shows. I was so lucky. My dad really loved musical theater and operetta, so I went to everything I could. And I grew up on all those old cast albums, all the Rodgers and Hammerstein, and then Sondheim. I mean, I was like 10 years old singing the Broadway cast album of Company. Like, it was just, I had no idea what I was really singing about, but I loved it. And so I was very fortunate to have a pretty sophisticated childhood in terms of going to tons of shows. So I loved all the Golden Age musicals. I saw a lot of revivals, Guys and Dolls, Fiddler. I saw the original cast. I'm really dating myself now. I saw the original cast of A Chorus Line, and that was watershed, because I originally wanted to be a performer, and I was a performer for a number of years, and that cemented it. I was like, I'm going to do Chorus Line. I was just obsessed with it. And then I don't know, like, and then I would see Les Mis. Like, throughout the years, I've loved so many shows. In terms of plays, I have to tell you that Wendy Wasserstein is probably the playwright who most inspired me as a writer. I felt like her plays were they just resonated so much because they were so female, through a female lens. And even though she was slightly older generation, I feel like so many of her themes just continue to resonate for women. And that really... everything she did was still very resonant for me, especially Heidi Chronicles. Like, I just absolutely love her work. I also love like the oldie Pinter, Will at Tennessee Williams, and maybe more contemporary playwrights. I'd say like Tracy Letts, Lynn Nottage, who actually was a classmate of mine in college, Brandon Jacob Jenkins, also brilliant. And then in terms of what's going on today, I love a lot of the musicals that are running today on Broadway. Even this summer, I saw a lot, Water for Elephants, The Outsiders. I loved Appropriate, which I think almost everybody did. And also Stereophonic, which is brilliant, which is sort of that weird hybrid show with music, but not really musical. And then Oh Mary, which is just phenomenal. And I saw it downtown, and it's just hysterical. I love that. So I have a broad range of shows. I definitely love shows with comedy, but I also appreciate drama and So yeah, all of it. That was the really short answer to your question. I'm famous for my brevity.
I am right there with you. Those are some incredible, incredible names and shows. Oh, I absolutely adore them. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Shellen, I would love to know, what or who inspires you?
So Pam, we have way too much in common. The native New Yorker, the theater kid from a young age, except sure. I am roughly contemporary with Wendy Wasserstein. So I go back even further than that. My first Broadway show was Carnival with Jerry Orbach when I was really little. But anyway, but here's the thing that does make me a little different, which I think is interesting, and so I'll throw it out there. From the time I was a teenager, I questioned the classics as much as I loved them. And I remember seeing Death of a Salesman when I was a young teen, and getting to the monologue that Linda has saying, attention must be paid to this man, and turning to the my left and my right and going, this man? This man? What about her? So I have to say that I have been very much spending my whole life trying to look at things from another perspective, influenced as much by the singer-songwriters of the 70s, Joni Mitchell, Laura Nyro, as by plays and theater. And I'm also, and I know Pam is also a songwriter, so we have that whole thing too. But I am very inspired now by all of the writers and directors, particularly women, people of color, women of color, who are telling the stories that we have had forever from another perspective. I have my own called The Quality of Mercy, which is my take on the story of The Merchant of Venice. And I love that people are re-looking at these stories and saying, oh, there's another way to look at them. And we've missed out by assuming who was the hero of the story, by assuming whose story it is.
I love that insight. That's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that. And now, you know, we have arrived at my favorite question to ask, and I can tell that all three of you are gonna respond with amazing ones. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
Okay, well, I sort of have two, because one is when I was a performer memory. I did summer stock during college, and I did a production of Fiddler on the Roof. That was one of my first of two, of course. And it was my first professional theater experience. It was incredible. And it was up in Maine. And in fact, little tidbit, Mark Jacoby, that was one of his first shows. He was actually a lawyer before he was a performer. I don't know how many people know that. So anyway, so he was in it. And then my parents and my grandparents came up to, well, my mother and my grandparents came up to see it. And after that show that they came to, my grandfather was crying, tears in his eyes. And he said, this show was exactly the way his mother had described life on a shtetl in Russia. If you can believe it. Yeah. So that was just so moving to me, you know, to hear that story. I had no idea. And so it was really, really special. And it just, you know, shows how theater can move people in incredible ways. So that was really special. And then just the other thing is, as I think I mentioned, seeing A Chorus Line when I was younger was that sort of, you know, had that epiphany. It was just so brilliant. It was such an unusual, at the time, you know, it was such a groundbreaking show. To have a show about a bunch of dancers and the way it was done was so incredible. And that's one of my most powerful theater going memories as a child. I have tons of others later, but we'll move on.
Those are two amazing memories though. I love, love that. Two of my favorite shows. Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much for those.
I have a few, but I'm going to share the one that goes with my other story, with the Death of a Salesman story. So I was on what was once called the Ethnic Minority Committee. I was the one white girl on the committee at Equity, the Equity Ethnic Minority Committee. It later became the Non-Traditional Casting Project by Joanna Merlin, but this was its early days. Anyway, we were invited, the entire committee, to the opening night of Pittsburgh, Death of a Salesman. I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of the play. That's ridiculous. Oh, my God.
August Wilson play, the Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Musical. August Wilson. But this is the original with Mary, oh God, my entire brain is going, is spazzing out. Mary Alice as the wife and James Earl Jones as the husband. Do we get the play now?
It's anyway. Not Fences, that whole thing.
Yeah, yes, Fences.
Okay.
Thank
oh my God, I got
so
it.
Ridiculous.
I feel like I won
Fences,
the jackpot.
Thank you. So this was the opening night of Fences on Broadway, and Carol Shorenstein Hayes, who was the producer, invited us all to come see it. And she also invited a lot of theater people and a lot of Black churches from Harlem area, from uptown. So there were all these people in the audience that were not usually at the theater together. And when the kind of equivalent monologue in Act Two happened, when Mary Alice is asked, when the character of the wife is asked to take on the new the baby that he's fathered, and she unleashes with, "What, do you know what I've put up with?" Well, that audience went crazy. They were screaming, "Tell him, sister!" And all of this screaming, like we were, I felt like we were in church. And it was so beautiful because it also felt to me, because of everything I'd always been through, it felt like this unleashing of women from thousands of years of not being heard. And it was an incredibly gorgeous moment.
Oh my gosh, I love that memory. Yes.
That is a great segue to my story too about the audience, because we all, oh my gosh, I do it for the audience, right? It's all, everything we do is for them. I was in a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Theater of Woods Hill, and I was playing Helena, and it was the scene. Oh, also I should say the theater is in this beautiful old barn. So it's sort of a tennis court style. So the audience is right there, right? There's like no stage lights. We're just right there. And often, you know, in Shakespeare, you're talking to the audience, you're checking in with them. And in the scene where Helena discovers that Demetrius has been under the spell, he's coming towards Helena, my character, and was like, "Oh, Helena, goddess," right? All that whole monologue. And an audience member looked at me like, "Wow, this is happening. It's happening for you." And then when Helena has the line of like, "Oh," she pushes him away and says, "How dare you make fun of me?" The audience member audibly went, "What?" Because Helena should be so excited that Demetrius finally was in love with her. And so I just thought that was such a fun moment that this person, even if she had seen the play, or maybe she didn't, just had such a visceral reaction to what was going on. It was so, right. So
fun. That is incredible. Listen, all three of you knocked that out of the park. Those were amazing, amazing memories. Thank you all so much for sharing those. I love it. Well, as we wrap this up, I would love to know, do any of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
I mean, I don't have a production per se. I've been working on a musical with two other collaborators for a couple of years now. We've been working on it with Theater Now New York, which is a wonderful place to, they have a musical writers lab. And we're hoping that we've had a stage reading. We're hoping that we'll have a workshop production in the coming year. That's the hope. So we're moving along the developmental, you know, pipeline. And that's really what's coming for me. And I'm always working on things and having new ideas, but that's sort of the main thing that I think we'll have something that maybe an audience can see. Hopefully in 2025, that's the goal for me.
We match again, Pam. I'm finishing writing a musical called On Delancey Street that I am lyricist and co-book writer on this one. And we are hoping also to move it through some readings to get to a production sometime in this next year. And also we did a reading a few months ago of a play called that I directed by Stuart Warmflash, a play called Hammer and Train, which is really terrific and takes place during the Peekskill riots, when Paul Robeson was trying to sing in upstate New York and the community rose up against it. And it's a terrific play, and we have some people interested in, hopefully something will be happening with that soon as well, once this is over.
Well, sort of coinciding a little bit, and hopefully I can make it. I wrote and produced and acted in a short film called The Red Shoe that's based on my grandmother's hometown during Nazi invasion, actually. And I play my grandmother in the film, and it's been a very moving and learning experience for me. And we're going to be playing at the Soho International Film Festival in mid-September. So we don't have our date yet, but people can follow the Red Shoe Film on Instagram, and I'll be posting all of that on there. Would love to see people there.
And we're all hoping to get to it.
I know. Yes. I gave them the dates of the play, and I was like, if we can play on not one of these show dates, that would be great.
Exactly. The double feature.
That is all amazing. It sounds like you all have incredible works in the pipeline. So we need to keep tabs on all of you. And that leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Observant or about any of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
So I'm on Instagram and Facebook, probably more than I should be. I should be writing, but sometimes I'm actually on Instagram. I'm at Pam W. Grayson for Instagram and Pamela Weiler Grayson for Facebook. Also, my website is PamelaWeilerGrayson.com. I'm on New Play Exchange. I didn't create a website yet for Observing, which I guess was maybe somewhat controversial, but if you look under Emerging Artist Theater, you'll also see us there. We're listed with the other festival shows. And that's it for now.
My name is so unusual. You can find me everywhere if you just look under my name, Shellen, Shellen. Lubin, Lubin. I have a website. I have a piece I write every Monday morning called The Monday Morning Quote, which is also on Facebook. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We made some TikToks of The Monday Morning Quotes. Maybe we should make some TikToks of Observant and put them up there.
I thought about that.
Yeah, that's rehearsals. Really. And kind of all over the place. But yeah, you just need my name to find me.
Same. If you search Arielle Beth Klein on Instagram or my website, it's just my full name is my handle. And Instagram is probably the way that I interact most. Also email. But...
Perfect. Well, Pam, Shellen, Arielle, thank you all so much for taking the time to speak with me, for sharing this amazing show that you are putting on, that is headlining this fabulous festival, and for sharing your wonderful insight and stories. This has been so much fun. I wish we had more time to sit and chat, to kibitz, as they might say.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you. You've been great.
Yes, this really has been wonderful. And we loved hearing about what you do too. And
yeah,
thank you. Thank you for helping promote these kinds of shows that really don't get a lot of visibility. So we really appreciate that. Yeah. Big, big huzzah for you.
Clap, clap.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Come and play in the sandbox that is off and off Broadway theater. It's so much fun.
Yes.
My guests today have been three amazing artists, the playwright Pam Wheeler Grayson, the director Shellen Lubin, and the actress Arielle Beth Klein, all who are part of this fabulous new work, Observant. It's headlining and part of the Spark Theater Festival NYC, and it's playing September 12th through the 28th at the Chain Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting tickettailor.com. And we also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you get your tickets now. You are not going to want to miss this powerful and funny show. Again, it's Observant, playing September 12th through the 28th. And we want to also add for our American listeners that Election Day is November 5th. Make sure you are registered to vote, you have a plan to cast your ballot, and you do your democratic duty. You can find out how and where you can register to vote by visiting vote.gov. The future demands that we fight for it now. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones,
unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar, and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.